B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Myers steps back at the 45, waits for the snap. Michael Dixon puts it down. That kick is away. And that kick is good! The Seahawks win! It's good! From 42, the Seahawks in overtime win for the second time in 2 weeks. And they beat the undefeated, now once defeated, San Francisco 49ers. What a game on Monday Night Football. The Seahawks win in overtime.
What's up, Zo?
How you doing?
Good morning.
Good.
Good
football game last night.
Yeah, went late.
Wow.
Long one. That's the only downfall of a great back and forth like that,
that was
with a full overtime.
Damn good game.
Yeah, you enjoy that?
Well, back and forth, you know, lead changes, turnovers.
What's your big thought of that one?
Russ Wilson's pretty damn good.
That's all?
Clowney's a wrecking ball.
Yeah? What else?
San Francisco's defense is really good, and I thought Jimmy took a step back last night.
Ah, there it is. I'm surprised you didn't lead with that one.
I mean, why?
I thought you'd be leading with that.
Jimmy can play. I mean, come on. We all know that. It's just these are the things that will not only say be the demise ultimately of them this season, but his inability to protect the football at times.
What is with the turnovers with him?
He's loose. I mean, he should have had four picks in that game. Easily, four picks. He also should have had some more catches. There were some drops, you know. There's times where you're scratching your head asking yourself, what the hell is he looking at or what's he doing here? Or set your feet, you know. Get your feet under you. Because there's times, man, where he spins it and he throws it as good or better than anybody. Like, he made some great throws in that game. And he made some horrific ones. Russ Wilson was a more steadier player in that game. That's why he's going to be your MVP.
Yeah.
He's your MVP right now.
He's great.
Yeah.
No more undefeated teams in the league.
Thank God.
That's done with.
Tired of hearing that.
That's over with. And that was it looked like it was going to be over in the fourth quarter. You've got to give the 49ers credit for the comeback that they put on to force that thing to go to overtime.
I tell you what, okay. You turn the football over down the red zone, you create that. Great job by the linebacker, you know, baiting him into throwing it. A lot of things to get into with this game. Former Patriots playing in it.
Like, believe it or not, the comeback to me showed me something about the 49ers that I didn't know that they had the ability to do.
Well, they're playing at home. They got the crowd. You got the noise.
Does that stadium suck, by the way?
It's awful.
There.
I think it's – I don't know why.
Have you been there?
Yeah, we called a game there a couple years ago, the Kaepernick game.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So does that place suck? Because I can hear the crowd at points, but it doesn't feel like there's that.
You're back. You're far enough away from the field. It's not an intimate
football. What are the fans like in San Francisco? I've never been there.
They can get going.
Can they?
Candlestick used to get rocking.
Yeah,
oh,
but
God,
that's forever ago now.
Isn't that like way far away from San Francisco, though?
Yeah, but you're in Santa Clara.
Regardless, though, their fan base in general. Do they get going or not?
It's a stadium that's
Or are they
built,
a line and cheese crowd?
It's weird. It's a
Candlestick
stadium.
Used to be crazy, right?
Yeah, but that's downtown
forever ago
right
now.
In San Fran. This stadium is built in a parking lot of Six Flags.
What are
we
talking about, Montana?
That's what I mean.
Rice?
No, you're way far away from the city. You're not there.
There's Six Flags. The stadium's built in Six Flags parking lot. Like, Six Flags right next to it. It's weird.
But
you're out in the middle of Silicon Valley. You're out there.
But what does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Point. I mean, I think they got after it last night a little bit. That place is rocking a little.
I think the fans, this you're going to see the same thing with Golden State. Golden State moved away from Oakland to this new glitzy arena in San Francisco. You have all these tech people that have all this money. It's like Zoe said, wine and cheese crowd.
Well, I just asked if it's a wine and cheese crowd, you know, in general, because of is that what their crowd? A lot of teams have had their crowds turn into that.
Yeah.
Patriots.
That's like the richest area in the country now.
The Patriots
right?
sort of have that problem, FYI. Not exactly a loud crowd here anymore either. There are a lot of teams in the league that have that issue. It just feels like there's not ever much of a crowd in San Francisco to deal with, ever. That's all. And it didn't feel like there was much last night. That's a side discussion. But you were saying. I thought that showed something that they were able to come back and have a comeback in the fourth quarter.
I mean, both these teams tried to get the game away at the end.
I thought they were dead. I'm like, oh, that's it. Yeah. Seattle wins. And I'm like, oh, whoa. 49ers not dead.
You think, hey, okay. Kicker misses one, that's going to be it for them. right?
They weren't dead.
He did that without Kittle and without Emmanuel Sanders, too.
Yes, Emmanuel Sanders left the game with a rib injury. He had it. He was without him for most of the night. Not a knee injury, by the way. Rib injury. Not that same injury that he had.
Thank God.
That phony knee injury that got him out of Denver.
So he's getting an MRI. He got x-rays last night, I guess, inconclusive. So he's going to have an MRI on his ribs. See where he's at.
Okay.
They get in a tough stretch here, I think. Yeah, they lost some guys. You lose the defensive end. Obviously, Kittle's out. You know, he'll probably be back, but they're starting to get nicked up a little bit and starting to play some better teams, like the Patriots are. So,
they've got the Cardinals next week. I'm sure they get right back in the win column.
They can score, though. Cardinals can score. And they got two edge guys. They can get after the quarterback a little bit.
But great game. Great Monday Night Football matchup. Yeah. The Seahawks win again. Russell Wilson is your MVP. I don't know why we care so much about MVP.
I don't, man. It's just that I don't. I could care less about.
We generally don't give a damn about MVP.
Give it to him now. Who cares?
Just give it to him now.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares?
Other takeaways from that game. You mentioned the Patriots, former Patriots, playing in that game. Two that you look to, I think, on the Seattle side are obviously Josh Gordon, who picked up a key third down.
Two.
And Hollister.
He picked up that slant backside, and then they went to him front side on an actual tougher catch where Russell Wilson took care of him, put him down around the knees out front. And Josh had to watch that safety go down and get it. But what did he do differently than he did here? He ran slants.
There were other times he looked totally lost.
He looked like he was just there, lined up.
Yeah, and didn't know what he was doing. Well, he didn't know where he was supposed to be or who he was supposed to blocking, but it was his first week in the offense.
Run
so
slants. That's what he does.
It happens. What about Hollister?
Hollister can function as, I think, a two. Obviously, he's the one tight end last night, but Hollister's an athletic kid. Always has been.
With Jacob Hollister, and if you saw his one-handed touchdown grab last night, man, that makes you angry. Because
no, I think the more impressive stuff was the stuff he would catch out in the flat, that misdirection boot, get it to him in the flat, turn, and actually put your shoulder down, take some hits, and run someone
is
over.
Is there anyone
showed some toughness
is there
last
anyone
night.
On this team right now making the one-handed touchdown grab that Jacob Hollister made last night for the Seahawks?
I think Watson could do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, I mean, he was kind of just going down and caught it. It was a lob ball, a little jump pass. I thought, like, the one-handed grab
pretty nice play.
By what's his name for the Vikings was a tougher catch. You know?
Kyle Rudolph?
Rudolph's one-handed catch was, you know, back end of the end zone. You got to keep your feet in. You got to grab it, secure it. It's a nice catch by Hollister. I was more impressed with the other stuff he did than that.
Such as?
Did the stuff out in the flat, catching the ball.
Oh, the stuff you already
crossing
mentioned.
Routes, yeah.
Yeah.
Taking shots over the middle, but catching the ball, securing it, protecting it, and being aggressive and picking up first downs. He showed you something.
He could never stay healthy here.
He got hurt in practice every damn week.
He was hurt all the time. So, obviously, he's gotten that part of things figured out.
Good for him.
But
I like the Hollister brothers. They're good kids.
Cody just got activated this week for the Titans.
It's just annoying. It's just annoying to see him do it somewhere else. And you know that?
Well, when you struggle at the tight end position, yeah.
Yeah, when you're struggling at the tight end position.
Yeah.
So. And all of the other young players that you've brought in have done nothing even remotely close to what Jacob Hollister's doing for that team right now.
Right.
Right? Are any of the other young guys on this roster doing that? Doing what Jacob Hollister does for the Seahawks now.
No.
Was Jacob Hollister even close to doing the things he does for the Seahawks now when he was healthy for the Patriots? No. Why was that? Why is that?
I don't know. But see, Hollister, like, go back to week two, Jacksonville last year. He had your biggest gain of the week that week. You know, little flare route to the backside, turn it up to sideline. Then you just don't go back to him. He would make catches here and there when you threw the ball to him. But you never would commit to it, you know? See, that offense is predicated off a quarterback that likes to run, that'll fake one way, boot, and it's always misdirection, back in the flat, tight end in the flat. Same thing San Francisco does. San Francisco's the same damn thing. Drag the tight end across. It's all misdirection stuff. They use that to their advantage. I don't think you can line Hollister up and just say, hey, go beat this guy. You know, you have to help him design that play to get the ball to him. And they did that. Did a good job at it. I mean, the other thing that stood out is the young receivers making plays in that game. Jesus Christmas, that Metcalf kid. He's a stud. Strong.
Because why? Because the offense.
He tries to catch the ball and score.
Because the offense there makes it easy for young guys to get involved.
It looks like he's their main go-to guy. Lockett goes out of that game, and how about that? He had to stay in San Francisco. He has some weird thing going on with his leg. Really bad swelling. It's sort of a serious thing, I guess. You just hope it's like not a blood clot type thing. But he goes out, and now all of a sudden, Metcalf becomes your number one option. And he was looking to feed him.
Stupid pacifier mouthpiece.
Pardon me?
A pacifier mouthpiece.
Everybody's wearing that now. Like Lamar Everybody? Jackson. He's the only Lamar one Jackson wears it. The one that has I don't know how the hell he talks.
No, no, no. He has a legitimate pacifier. Like, there's a little there's a little plastic piece in the outside of his mouthpiece. It's like a pacifier.
Binky. Oh, yeah. They got binky.
They got binky.
I didn't know that.
Hey, Jim, where was DK Metcalf drafted? Just
64th.
Yeah, that would be in what round?
Second round. Okay. 32nd mm-hmm. pick of the second round.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. My.
Where was N'Keal Harry drafted?
How about Deebo Samuel? He looked good last night, right? For the Niners?
Yeah.
He was drafted 36th.
Yeah. Where was N'Keal Harry drafted?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't remember?
I know where he's drafted.
You don't remember where N'Keal Harry was drafted? You don't remember where that big fellow was drafted? He was drafted 32nd. Yeah. 32nd of the first round. The first round. That's where he was drafted.
Yeah.
That's where he went. And he hasn't sort of figured it out yet here in New England. Mm-hmm. And they haven't sort of figured out a way to get him into things here in New England. And so at some point, we have to stop ripping on the player. And at some point, you got to start looking at the team and saying, how come other teams can figure it out with young players and you can't? That's all. That's what I thought last night.
We went over some of the yardage. How many? Metcalf's got what? 600 plus yards?
You want some of the yardage of the receivers drafted?
Yes. No, I really don't, but okay.
Yeah, you may get sick.
Top five receivers in the draft. Hollywood Brown, 454 yards, four touchdowns. Deebo Samuel, 339 yards, one touchdown. I'm not sure if that concludes last night.
I thought he had one that Thursday night game. And then back yet. Oh, no, he dropped it. That was Garoppolo's best throw that night, that Thursday.
A.J. Brown from the Titans, 446 yards, three touchdowns. Mecole Hardman, 437 yards and five touchdowns. And N'Keal Harry.
Who? Go back one?
Mecole Hardman.
Huh. Five touchdowns?
Five touchdowns.
Who throws him the ball?
Five.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh. He's fast, huh?
And then after that, you got Metcalf.
He
a couple down.
He got the jump pass.
Jump pass.
Bypass a couple more receivers drafted. Metcalf was like the eighth or ninth guy drafted. 595 yards, five touchdowns. Deontay Johnson from Pittsburgh. Zoe, you were talking about him yesterday. 363 yards, three touchdowns. Terry McLaurin, 495 yards, five touchdowns. He was picked 76th. Hunter Renfro, 149.
He plays for the sucky Redskins.
Hunter Renfro, 149th, 299 yards, two touchdowns. Darius Slayton from the Giants, 171st pick, 394 yards, five touchdowns.
Five touchdowns. Five times.
Dude's got five scores.
This is a really good receiver class.
Like, it is.
And you have the second pick of this receiver class.
It's productive. It's a productive get in the end zone type receiver class.
Doesn't that tell you they need to get him on the field? If this receiver class is...
Yeah, it does.
Maybe this is the week. Maybe they're hoodwinking us all.
617-779-0985. We talked about Jimmy Garoppolo last night. Tom Brady did his
bad night for Garoppolo.
Westwood One interview. He talked about Jimmy G as well, didn't he?
Yes.
He had a little something to say. We'll get to that coming up after this.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, Jimmy Garoppolo, your former teammate and backup to you tonight, is playing. He's 16-2 starting in his first 18 games. And in the Super Bowl era, that's the highest percentage of anybody ever. How do you think he's progressed since you've seen him every day? And what are your thoughts on how well he's done?
Well, he's done a great job. I mean, anytime the point of playing football is to win. So when your team's winning and you're the quarterback, you're doing your job and you're putting your team in a position to win. So, you know, I'm certainly proud of everything that he's accomplished. He was a really great guy for me to get to know and to see on a daily basis. I worked extremely hard. And then what I think the great thing is to see is players that take advantage of their opportunity. And he had an organization that put a lot on the line to get him. And he's taken advantage of that opportunity. I know he had a tough injury last year, but has showed a lot of mental toughness in coming back from a tough injury and is playing great football.
What are you saying? To there, Zoe. I know the listeners couldn't hear that.
What the hell is this?
Billy Joel.
How's it?
Yeah, well, what's the connection here?
I don't get it.
Explain this. Like we're idiots.
Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
Pardon me? Why don't you play that some more day or something? Like something Italian.
Oh, okay. Great.
Oh, that's a Miss Tebow. Wow. I'm confused now. I don't even know what I was going to say. That thing threw me so off. Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
The organization gave up put a lot online to get him. So I think, you know, what he's saying, you know, not only did you get up a second-round pick to get him, but you ended it up pretty quickly and said he's our guy. We're going to go with him as a franchise guy.
And money.
Yeah. Right. And that's putting it on the line. That's what that means. But good answer by Brady, you know. Come back from tough injuries, playing well. Team's winning. When you're the quarterback, it's winning. That's doing your job. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a good answer.
I think, again, to read you the quote back that you just heard, I think the great thing to see is players who take advantage of their opportunity at an organization that put a lot on the line to get them. You think there's anything there beyond just him talking about Jimmy Garoppolo there?
No, I think it's a good organization. He grew up around it. He probably has, you know, the history of it. He's talked about San Francisco and what it means to him.
You don't think there's any jealousy there? And I'm not talking about in a bad way.
Oh, you mean, no.
Well, there's a team that did a lot, put a lot out there to get their guy.
Yeah, this
really is, take care of their guy.
This is the place that drafted him, I don't know, 99th pick here, and said, we're going to go with you. Put a lot on the line for him, too. I mean, he's been here for 20 years. You can't dismiss that. Can't dismiss what this place has done for him. Unless you're going to monetize it. I mean, you know.
Like, why did that have to come up at all? What the organization in San Francisco gave up to get Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that didn't have to come up at all.
I think
really,
you had to, you know, you got to say, hey, okay.
Second-round pick?
We're going to make this decision.
He wasn't talking about the second-round pick. He was talking about the money.
His money.
He was talking about the contract that Garoppolo got. That's what I thought when I saw this quote last night come up. I'm like, oh, he's talking about money.
Well, when you look at the Rams, did they put a lot on the line?
That's a guy who's playing well, and he deserves it. A lot of mental toughness there. That's a team that really put a lot on the line to get him, and I'm glad he's playing well. I'm proud of him.
Brady could have got that contract if he goes. He can get that contract in the offseason if he goes to an 0-8 team. They gave him that money. They were 0-8 when they traded for him, weren't they?
Brady can't get that contract.
Brady doesn't want to go play for a team like that and rebuild.
Brady can't get that contract. He's too old. No one's going to give him that contract. No one's going to give him those years.
Well, not now.
No. No, he can't get that contract. He can get the same per season value as that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He could definitely get that.
Oh, Brady get 30 years.
He gets that now.
Yeah.
Right, isn't he slightly above Jimmy on the cap or 27.5? Isn't he slightly above that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he could get the real money, you know, on a per year basis, but not the same, you know, big, large lump sum payment and all that. Randy's in Mattapan today. Randy.
Yeah, Harvey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Hey, Hardy.
Hardy's doing great.
You guys have an awesome show, by the way. I have an answer to that question you asked earlier about why the young guys don't work out in New England. The Patriots have no patience. If Patriots had patience, a lot of these guys that are doing awesome now would be still here. And by the way, Tom Brady needs to retire if he wins the last Super Bowl. I'm tired of Tom Brady. I'm a Patriots, diehard Patriots fan, but Brady has to go.
I know.
I'm tired of it, too.
I had enough of that guy.
The winning.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Had enough of that guy.
Best of all time. Never see one again like him.
Ugh. Super Bowls.
Boring.
And that seventh fun.
Oh, those AFC title games that you can bank on every single January. I'm really tired.
I felt it's like to be a Jet fan.
Team wins the division every single year. Makes the playoffs every single year. Oh
shoot
me.
Brutal. Unbelievable. Speaking of Brady, what else do we have from Brady and Jim Gray last night?
Okay, well, Rob Gronkowski's status, of course, came up.
Well, we got a couple more weeks we can ask this before it's officially put to bed. Rob Gronkowski coming back. Apparently, Mr. Kraft has let him know that he would like him to do that.
I know. You know, I've heard that. And I'm sure a lot of our fans would love to see him come back, too, just because everyone remembers how great he was as a player. But I know Gronk is really enjoying his time right now. And the guys in our locker room are focused on who we have and what we have to do to help our team win. And you know, at this point, the roster is what it is. You know, I love Gronk as a friend. I've loved him as a teammate. I want what's best for him and his life and him to be happy. But our team has its own mission, has its own journey, and we're on that right now. And it's the guys in the locker room that we have that are going to be tasked with the
opportunity to go out there and make it a great season. So that's what we're going to try to do.
So are you saying you don't know? Or are you saying we'll see? Or are you saying you're not influencing? I mean, he works out at TB12. He's involved with you. He loves Alex Guerrero. You were instrumental in trying to keep him healthy toward the end of his career. So you might have a little bit more insight than perhaps you're leading on.
Oh man. Yeah, Put you on a spot, Bubs.
Right. Wow. Let's see what he says.
I know.
Do you know what I want from Brady? Do you remember that commercial he filmed in the store where the kid pretends that he has a Boston accent?
And the freaking standing.
Yeah, that one. And Brady snaps. I want Brady to snap on Jim Gray in one of these interviews.
Like Fred did.
Like just once. I just want him to snap on him. Just one good snap.
I am the freaking standee.
Right.
That one.
Come on.
So you might have a little bit more insight than perhaps you're leading on.
I know. I haven't talked to Rob about that. I'm not, like I said before, I'm not trying to influence him one way or another. And he said countless times this year that he's not coming back. So you just got to take his word for it. That's all I really got to say about that.
He said countless times this year. Let's listen to that one more time.
He said countless times this year that he's not coming back. So you just got to take his word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's TB12's take on it. He's not coming back.
But, Tom, you two are very close. Is that the same word that he gives you? We're having a laugh, aren't we, Tom? Yes.
Okay, if you're the tight end, you're retired. You sticking around Foxborough? Are you working on TB12? Are you going to Florida and you're going to work out on a beach somewhere?
I don't know. I don't know what his personal situation is.
Okay.
I don't know everything about him.
Stopped playing. Why didn't you move to Florida?
Yeah. Why did you leave?
I ended up marrying somebody from here, and you established a
family. Okay, where's his girlfriend from?
I don't know where she's probably from here. Yeah. Former cheerleader, right? Yeah. But she's an SI model now, so she travels everywhere. I mean, but our entire offseason, we go to Florida every offseason. We're going to Boca Raton every offseason. Couldn't wait to get out of here. Get some sun.
Maybe
beach.
Maybe he's going to do the same. It's only November.
Yeah.
When did you typically leave for Florida?
As soon as the season was over.
Okay.
Second was over.
No, I'm saying once you were done playing. Did you still go to Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm looking. She's from New England. Connecticut, it looks like. Okay. New England-based. One more clip.
Maybe he's going to move to Greenwich, too.
Maybe. Could be neighbors. Could be neighbors. One more clip from Brady and Gray last night on Westwood One, coming up after headlines with Hardy. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom Brady.
Thanks, Scratchy.
Scratchy. Last night at Westwood One, we got one more clip to play. Why don't we go ahead and roll that? Let's have a listen.
Whose birthday is it?
You'll hear.
Tom, as always, appreciate your time, and we will speak to you at halftime.
Thanks, Jim. I look forward to it. Enjoy the first half of the game, and I want to wish you on your 60th birthday a great day. I know you had a great party on Saturday night. You have many more great years to come, so really happy for you, and I hope you get to celebrate your day as you should.
Tom, thanks. Are you trying to rub in age? You're exactly the wrong guy to try and be rubbing someone's age in.
Well, finally, I'm around someone older than me, so I do kind of rub it in a little bit. It doesn't happen very much for me at work.
Tom, appreciate it. Your parents were at the party. We had a great time. In fact, it was at Mastro's, and Mastro's sponsors our halftime report.
Oh, God,
we thank those folks, and we will talk to you at halftime.
What is with that?
You been to Mastro's?
No. We don't have them around here, do we?
No, I don't think we do.
No.
Is it really insufferable, though?
Oh, apparently we do. Apparently there is one around here in Boston.
It's good steak.
Would you ever use a sponsor that you have a relationship with to have a party at?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A second.
Right?
Yeah, our work never, has never done
But Brady's
that.
Parents were there?
That's interesting to me.
Oh, they're friends of the family.
And Jim Gray's only 60?
That's true. I feel like he's 80.
Lot to digest there in that clip, Jim.
Yeah.
You're right.
You're right.
That is very true.
What's he feel like? Feels like he's 70, right? Hello.
Feels like that Pete Rose interview was forever ago.
Yeah.
But he was obviously, well, that was 99.
We saw Pete Rose
at the World
casino.
Series. That was at the World Series at 99.
Remember we saw Pete Rose at a casino?
So when Jim Gray was doing that interview, he was younger than Tom Brady is right now. No, I don't want to believe that.
Yes. That was 20 years ago, and he was only 40. Yep.
Yep. Keeping you awake, though?
That's exactly right.
And our good, a long game.
Our good friend, Tillman Fertitta. It's Mastro's.
He was there along with Oprah and Stedman.
Oprah and Stedman were there.
Yep.
Everybody all right?
Is that you?
No.
A lot of gurgling and bubbling.
Was that you, Hardy?
No.
It wasn't us.
Who was that?
My mouth was shut. You were looking right
it
at
It was
me.
Not me. I promise you.
Hoodie?
What? My mic was turned down.
Can we play that back?
Yeah, cue that thing up. I heard it loud and clear.
I mean, loud and clear. I looked right at you. I'm like, and then I saw you. You were not moving.
No.
And I'm like, had to be Hardy. You okay,
not
Hardy?
Me. It was not me.
Wow.
Is Jay Stu there breathing in another mic that's live?
No.
Okay. Tillman Fertitta. Mastro's. Our halftime show. So he's 60 years old. What would you have him pegged at?
I'd put 70, 71.
No, I wouldn't have him that old.
He's an really? Old. He's an old
I wouldn't
soul.
Have him that old. I'd have him like 65. I'd have him like 5 years older than he is.
Oh, what are you looking at, Loth?
So
when did he start?
He started.
When did he start the box?
He started working in TV in 1977.
Right.
18.
Come on.
Denver's ABC affiliate.
Okay,
as an 18-year-old.
That's why. That's why.
Is he one of these weirdos like Joe Buck that just feels older than they are?
Right. Joe Buck's not that old.
I am a grown-up man. You know, I'm just so dead center down the middle. Safe. Mr. Safe.
See, just looking at his friends, Oprah's 65.
How old is Joe Buck?
Check
Buck's
that.
Probably 50.
Joe, he's 50.
What?
50. Joe Buck is 50.
Yep.
Wow.
Stedman's 68. I'm friends with Stedman.
Well.
He's the young buck.
But let's go back to this. Why were Brady's parents there?
Well, I mean, they're tight with Gray. I mean, for all the years.
And let's just ask this.
If San Francisco
Jim Gray
based,
were to be asked why Brady's parents were at the party, would he storm off and not do the interview? Fair question. Why are Brady's parents at your birthday party?
Because they're all
would
friends.
Would that be grounds?
We can't wrap our heads around the fact that they're all friends.
Would that be grounds for him to storm off in an interview? With DNR? My guess is it would be for him, in his mind.
Yeah. Blows my mind.
I have an easier time.
My theory on why he walked off that interview, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I know. I think it's a good theory.
What was it?
That he thought he was on our competitor.
Okay.
And not on our station.
So he's getting hammered.
He had heard of previous issues that Brady had with the competitor.
I got you.
Some of those
so
issues.
So he was already on the defensive.
And he was on the defensive because he thought that it was a different station.
I believe that.
And so he went into it with sort of a defensive mindset, and that's why he stormed off. Because of anything that Fred or Rich did, or that he just was looking for a reason to get pissed off because he went into it defensive to begin with. That's my theory on that.
See, it's easier for me to reconcile him being friends with Brady's parents than him being friends with Oprah and Stedman and Brady and Giselle.
Brady.
Because Jim Gray, like Brady's parents, share the fawning over Tom Brady. You know, oh, we both feel the same way. We both think of him as this beautiful boy that we just can't get enough of and love to prop up. And, he's
probably at dinner talking about Tom.
Right, the exalted one. Right. Like, I'm totally serious. Like, I could see Jim Gray and his wife hanging out with Brady's parents because it's
they
like...
They probably watch home movies, Hardy.
Right, they just sat there and like, oh, Tom, right? Yes, I was just thinking the exact same thing, Jim. That Tom, right? Yes.
I bet they have to wear Brady gear to the party.
Except Tom Brady's parents seem like normal, well-adjusted people that don't fawn over their child like that.
They're great.
But still, like a fair amount of that is normal for a parent. Of course you think your kid is perfect.
I mean, they love their kid, but I don't think they're like those, you know, weirdo parents that think they're...
Wears game jersey to the game, yeah.
I don't think they're like
that. Hey, look at us. Yeah. Yeah,
those parents are the worst.
They stay in the background. They really do.
The parents that don't think their kids have ever done anything wrong, those are the worst parents.
Millennials.
You are the worst. Mm. Yeah, I've already warned all my kids. Like, if the teacher says you did something wrong, I will always side with the teacher. I will never side with you, ever.
Right.
You will always be wrong. I will never believe you.
God.
The teacher is always going to be right in my eyes. You will always be wrong. So don't even try and argue.
Yeah, well, wait till they get accused of something other than breaking a crayon.
You know, nope.
We'll see.
You're wrong. Mm. Wrong.
Mm.
You'll suffer.
Okay.
Even if you are right, too bad.
All right.
I'll play the percentages, Artie. I will play the percentages. You got the gurgle? Can we play it quick before we get to the
girlfriend?
Stedman, we're there?
Yep.
See, there's only one of us with a carbonated beverage sitting in front of us.
Yeah, which
it's not me. It's not Beetle.
The show.
That's you, Zo.
Yep. That's a good one. It's a dinosaur.
I really don't think it was Zo.
I know it wasn't me. I have no problem admitting when it was
I looked
me.
Right at you, and it, I didn't.
You know
I'm
me.
Like,
I love bodily functions.
You should see it, the video replay. I look right at him, like, whoa. But he was not moving.
You know what? All right, hold on. Can you do it with your mouth closed?
Figure it out. I don't think so.
That's open. Yep. That's not me. I'm sorry. I'd gladly take credit for function, but not me.
All right, let's get to Billy Jaffe on the Bruins. We'll talk to Billy coming up next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pastrnak missed on a penalty shot in regulation. He gets an opportunity in the shootout. He scoops up the puck, races into the zone, in the slot, fakes, backhand, Hart the save. And the Philadelphia Flyers have come up with a 3-2 shootout victory over the Boston Bruins here at TD Garden. And the Bruins' winless skid now extends to 3 games.
Talk to Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe from Nesson joins us now. Billy, what's up?
Bill, what's up? All good here.
Ooh, what's going on with the hockey team, my friend? Looks like they've hit their lull here.
You warned us.
Well, that's a good question. Have they hit the lull, or is this just a little something? Bruce doesn't think. Bruce Cassidy, you know, asked him about that the other day, and he doesn't think it is just yet. That could still come down the stretch. He feels that there's a little bit of a lack of defensive structure, a little defensive awareness. I mean, who knows if it's the law? I think the Detroit game was just we think it's going to be easier than what it's really going to be type of thing. And they were chasing then, and then they couldn't get back into it despite the fact that they were almost there, one of those games. The Philadelphia game, I was a little, that bothered me a little bit more because I thought they'd come out flying. I think Bruce did too. Really come out flying and, you know, show that, all right, we're going to get it back, and they did it. Now, meanwhile, their last 20 was great. So maybe that catapults them to a a good game, you know, tonight against Florida. They're in a tough stretch here, Beetle. They go Florida, Toronto, and then Washington. It's a tough 3 games in 5 days coming up.
You concerned about Krug, especially with the power play, if this could be, I know, maybe be back for the weekend, but what are you hearing on him?
Nothing yet. I'm, you know, as usual, morning skate is in about 5 minutes. I'm you know, about to enter Warrior and go see what's going on there. I don't know if we'll get anything more. So, sure,
you got your coffee? You got your coffee yet?
You know what? It's a good point. I am I'm a minute from coffee, and then I'm right into there. You know me well. I am concerned. Sure, I'm concerned anytime. You know, the player we think, and this is not saying when it happened, but we think it happened, was about 2 minutes left in the third period when he got hit. Along the wall, offensive zone, when he was on the power, when the team was on the power play, he was handling the puck. He then came out, played another shift, and left right away with no contact whatsoever, not part of the play. So sure, I'm concerned when I see that. Now, hearing though, maybe this weekend, you say, well, maybe not as concerned. But we've heard that in the past where we don't think it's that significant. Meanwhile, then the player's out 2 to 3 weeks. So sure, the power play, sure, though. You know, Matt Grizzly gets an opportunity. Thought maybe McAvoy would get that, but Krug and Grizz are both lefties, so maybe they keep that lefty-lefty look there for the other options they have on the first unit.
All right, what about this team defensively and the number of goals that they've given up here in the last 4 games?
Haven't liked a few things. Clearing of pucks, clearing of rebounds. They put themselves into some bad spots. And then, you go back to that Detroit game, Beetle, and goals galore, two of them on the power on the penalty kill, when they gave instant or easy access to the middle of the ice for the Red Wings to make scene plays. Penalty kill has been great at home. It has been, I'm going to say, 20% less effective on the road. So that's something that has to be a concern. It has to be something that has to be addressed. Defensively, if the Bruins have, you know, a hard time moving pucks out of the zone, their breakouts are usually so damn good. And they had a hard time the first 40 against Philly doing that. But when they're on, they alleviate a ton of pressure. When they're not, and they spend time in their own zone, they've been missing checks. They've been off players. And so it's the old, let's get back to that kind of structure. And so, sure, you've seen you're seeing 4 goals against the last couple. That's just, it's too much for any team, let alone the Bruins, who can't score. But it's playing with, fire too much.
I mean, they didn't give up the 15th goal until the 8th game of the season. So, I mean, you anticipate there's a little bit of a lull. But after Florida, what do they got? They got Toronto, and then they got the Capitals after that, right?
Back to back, yeah. On the road in Toronto.
Tough doesn't get much easier, man.
No. Washington, by the way, they've been really good. I mean, I've watched them now a couple of times. They're playing with such a, like the Bruins, though, with that kind of focus, determination, depth. Of course, it's Ovechkin and Backstrom, but now Kuznetsov is flying. John Carlson has been dominating from the back end. They're getting some other really good, third and fourth line presence. They're big, they're strong, and I like them an awful lot this year.
We're talking with Billy Jaffe of Nesson as the Bruins get ready for their game against Florida. Billy, replay continues to be a problem, man. As we talked about it last week when we were talking about it, I know how angry it makes you.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it does.
The more I've thought about this.
Okay, tell me.
Doesn't the league, don't they have to get rid of this? This can't stand. They can't. I know that we're in 2019, and I know that replay is not going away, right? It's not going to disappear. They're not going to undo replay in general. Replay is going to be a part of sports no matter what. But on the offsides, how is the NHL going to continue to keep this rule in place? How do they not admit that they've made a mistake with this rule? How do they not move on from this and get rid of it? And who would be upset that it goes away? Is really the question.
Well, I guess the team, general managers have to agree to, and to make a rule change. And who would be upset? My guess is the people that say it's black and white. And, I've constantly say this. I don't think sports is black and white. I think sports is a game of intensity and mistakes. And how do you deal with those little mistakes? And, who can make less of those mistakes? there's got to be a fraction of the people, and maybe it's a loud fraction. If it's a minority, it's still loud, that want it. You know, I'm told that the younger generation is in favor of replays because, you know, it's like a video game. Well, I don't think sports is like a video game, and I'm not saying that. That's what I'm told from people that are around the league. I don't think I agree with that, but that's what I hear. But anyway, I mean, I would love for them to get rid of this. But there's always going to be those people or that person who say, well, wait, it was offside by an inch. Now we just lost the game because of that. And now I potentially lost revenue because of that. And that's not fair. I don't agree with that. I just think that, you know, a real hockey person, and this goes for any sport out there. I mean, the football and the whole pass interference crap. I mean, you know, it's like the rational person is going to say, all right, ref missed it. You know, we can give another reason to say, hey, refs suck. That's, you know, everybody loves yelling at the ref anyway, even when they're good. But, you know, we have all these people that say, no, if it happens to my team, it's wrong. I'm with you, Beal. I wish it would go away. I don't see it going away, though.
All right. Appreciate your time, Billy.
Thanks, Bill.
You got me fired up again. I was actually really okay. I was kind of calm, but thank you.
Check it, man.
Enjoy the morning skate.
Get yourself back.
See you,
buddy.
See you later.
Later. Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline for Brew and Skate. Torrey Krug might be out a little bit. At least that's what you read.
Maybe this weekend I'll be back.
Might be out a little bit. What?
No. Man, I don't think it's long term.
You see that Don Cherry got fired yesterday?
Yeah, David, you make it up.
I don't think he was fired just for that. You want to talk about that quickly?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it on the other side. Don Cherry getting fired up in Canada.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.